Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
No water anywhere. Still, we are marooned, stranded in Barovia. Mists around us like prison bars. Strahd, our jailer. We must escape. We must kill. Strahd must die.
I don't know how to describe the size of a huge dragon. Argenvost, as you easily assumed, is headless. Mm-hmm.
Okay, does Hunter's Mark let me still track it through the darkness?
Yeah, you know where it is.
A pinning shot will reduce its speed to zero.
Yeah.
If I hit it in the sky, will it fall out of the sky?
I would say yes.
Okay, tracking it with my Hunter's Mark, spin around with the crossbow, twang, twang. Where I think it is.
You hear distantly, ooh, boom!
Hell yeah.
As Argenvost's corpse hits the ground.
Oh, it's got to be a lot of damage.
Yeah. It must have fallen at least 80 feet.
Ha-ha! Ha-ha, bitch!
Yeah, we know what that's like. Yes, very painful.
We fell off a mountain earlier, so I remember how much it hurt.
Argenvost takes an additional 30 points of damage. Holy shit. No. Oh, buddy.
Fuck. Still.
Buddy, you are so close.
Then I would like to move to where I think Bigfoot Paul was.
All right, you bump into Hector.
Where is he? That's probably all I can get out.
Yeah.
Near me.
Yet for the impact.
Okay, that was Pip's turn. Are you saying, you're saying that out loud?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it is the Burgermaster's turn first. What can she do?
You can probably feel the wash of the guts slamming against you, displaced by the dragon hitting the ground.
Oh, shit, wait. Good news.
Uh-huh.
Good news. Great news, even. The darkness ends.
Fuck yeah.
You can see each other again, and you can see Bigfoot Paul face down in the middle of your circle.
Oh, shit. God. Grab him by the hair and pull his head up so he doesn't drown.
That'll be your turn, though.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Like, that'll be the,
Yeah. The Burgermaster creates a gentle ice ramp that allows her to climb up on top of the ice wall. You can see it's like waves crashing against the shore. The giant corpse that you're standing in is trying to throw itself up on top of the ice wall. She throws a ball of arcane energy. Critical miss.
Oh, come on.
Off we go. You are teleported 30 feet in a random direction determined by the DM. Up is a direction.
Fuck.
It specifies. So she teleports backwards. It's not much, no. The wall's only 10 feet high. She takes 6 points. Of course, she takes the maximum amount of damage possible. Yeah. The Burgermaster accidentally, as she's throwing the spell, you watch as something strange happens, and then she shimmers for a moment, and then she's standing 30 feet back. She falls in among your circle.
Okay.
I guess that was not intentional.
It's John Cavendish's turn. John Cavendish climbs the exact same slope that the Burgermaster made. You see, he gets to the top, takes a knee, aims down with his strange weapon. Crack! Miss. Uh-oh. Critical miss.
Oh, my God.
Third one will be a critical hit, but let's see what miss he gets.
Fucking hell.
Jesus.
What luck.
Okay, it's fine. Momentary confusion. You don't add your proficiency bonus to your next attack roll. Maybe what the Burgermaster, that magical mishap that she had, leaves an air, like the equivalent of crop dusting someone, but with magic. And John Cavendish walks right into it. As he takes the knee, all of you see him go, whoa, whoa. Oh, no. Kind of shaking his head like, whoa, oh my.
It's magic.
What is that? His first two shots go awry, but his third one finds its mark. You see over the wall, you see his one last A fountain of blood and cold sails up into the air, and then it's like hail rains down around you, and Argenvost goes down for the second and hopefully final time. As Argenvost dies, the corpse around you slowly lowers and calms.
Oh, that's good news.
Okay.
Can
all
I
right.
check Paul to see if he's alive?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we're still in initiative. Yeah. Oh, but that's okay, because it's Tarpos's turn next, and she casts just a level one healing word, and he recovers 9 hit points.
Okay.
Citrep, anyone has... who else is not
You're
alive?
Still missing the... Well, you don't know where the engineer is.
Okay.
But, you and the adventurers went from 50... 50 as in 50 plus you guys.
Yeah, sure.
Anyone named plus an extra 50 people went down to 31, went down to a further 6 plus you guys.
Oh, fuck.
There are, you almost were wiped out.
Okay.
The Burgermaster lets the ice wall drop.
Okay, yeah, just like, I don't know, with like a sword, just... The viscera, stab it, like
you can attack
to test it to see what happens.
Yeah, you can attack it.
Undulate? Does it whatever? Is it just kind of?
It does not respond.
Okay. Now to find.
Yeah, I reach into my shirt or whatever, and I'll pull out one of the stakes and I'll hand it over to the Burgermaster.
All right, she takes it gladly.
All right. I mean,
let us
fan out.
All right.
If I cast Divine Sense now. Is it still like that lingering?
Yes.
Just necromantic energy?
It's more like the creature is asleep, not dead.
Okay, that's terrible news.
Yeah. It doesn't take long to kind of work out. You're pretty good at the undead, Hector. Pip, you're a monster hunter. Between the two of you and the Burgermaster as well, you're able to work out that this is all one networked creature that can be controlled possibly by at the very least by Argenvost Holt, but you assume Ludmilla also has a control over this.
Okay.
It just seems, it's just got her handiwork. It's got her fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, right.
The creature, this entity, is so incalculably large, you don't think you could kill it.
No, yeah, for sure.
You think it needs to be burnt away.
Yeah.
Right.
Destroying this creature, dismantling this creature is the work of several days.
Yep.
For sure. This is possibly the worst part of rebuilding Kuchery will be the destruction of this creature.
In the darkness, a flare goes off.
Yeah, right. I guess it's the engineer.
Let's use
someone.
This. Yeah, somebody goes and collects
Someone goes and collects the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He is in a pretty fucked up state, you could see.
Okay.
But still walking.
Alright. Is there any around this area? I guess we're torches or light or whatever. Yeah. Is there anything that would be like, oh yeah, I guess there is the furthest away point from the entranceway, which we might be like, oh, I reckon.
That's probably where she's got the coffin.
Where it's gone.
No. You would have to just start searching.
Alright.
There's no obvious place.
Yep. Alright, I'll vocalize, do we think there is a logical position of where her coffin might be?
Could be anywhere.
I think we're just going to fan out
and try and find it.
In a viscera stack.
Yeah.
Should we split up or should we stay? Because the moment we open it, is there a trap? Maybe it goes off again.
I would project that assuming there's no further encounters to be had down here, the most efficient method to do this would be to split up into a spiraling search program. I could devise a method for that if you wanted.
What is this? I mean, would it, the headless dragon and this be all that Ludmilla put to protect her?
I don't know.
I don't think we should split up.
Okay. Well, then what about we link arms, make a long chain, walk from one end to the other together?
That's one way to search.
Let us do that. See what we can do.
All right, we'll do it that way.
Okay. You spend several long hours searching down here. You, at a certain point, encounter Argenvost Holt's corpse, a giant behemoth lying, what's left of it, lying in the muck and the blood.
Should probably harvest that at some point.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry.
You keep going. you find eventually, appearing out of the darkness like an oasis in a desert, a mound of dirt rising out of the surrounding muck and gore. Atop it, almost on purpose with zero fanfare, is a wooden coffin. Okay. A very simple, designed for maybe a pauper.
Mm. Just all divine sense. Yes, as a precaution.
Yeah.
There's a vampire in that coffin.
I knew that. I was wondering if there's anything else.
Yeah. No, no hidden surprises.
No other surprises that you are aware of.
Right. Okay. I guess. Yeah, there's nothing left for.
The Burgomaster leads the way up the side of the little embankment. And
the flanker?
Yeah.
And to the coffin.
Load my crossbow just in case.
Mm-hmm.
The Burgomaster looks very satisfied with herself. You get to, as I said, the coffin, and inscribed into it, Ludmilla Vilisevic, mother, daughter, beloved. And then it has a birth date and a death date. Does anyone have a crowbar?
Can I just, I'll grab my, I guess, the mace, and I will, using an action, I will transform it into, I guess, a spear with a crowbar-like shape that I can.
You crack the coffin open. Lying inside, once again, a very simple-looking coffin. There's a pillow underneath her head, but otherwise zero adornment, is Ludmilla. You recognize mm-hmm. her immediately. Her body is mangled somewhat from the damage she sustained by being crushed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you watch as slowly, but mm-hmm. inevitably, her flesh re-knits and restores itself. She is fast asleep as this happens.
Okay. Can I ask the Burgomaster if, can we do this together?
It'll be a persuasion check, I guess. No. The Burgomaster looks at you and looks like she is considering your words, but then you realize she was distracting you as she plunges the stake into Ludmilla's heart.
Yeah.
Ludmilla takes one last gasp and turns to ash. You can have the next one. And she throws the stake back to you. Back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Grab the steak, pocket that one.
Allow me to give you the highest compliment I can. You have proven yourself a useful ally.
Well, thank you. So have you. Kuchir is yours. I gesture to Bigfoot Paul, Iona, the Burgomaster. Really just Bigfoot Paul and the Burgomaster.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Shall we get out of here?
Yeah, let me harvest all this shit first. But yeah, then let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Can I harvest Ludmilla and the dragon?
Is vampire dust one of the ingredients?
Vampire teeth are.
Well, you get two vampire teeth, of course.
So useless, but I'll take them. They transform a weapon into piercing, which just really never comes up.
It's just like, it goes into like, you stab her in the heart and it just, goes to this big ball of dust.
Yeah.
Two little
vampire teeth.
Piercing weapon... pretty useful against specific types of hags.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, great.
Right, I guess,
Do we guys get regular loot, Adam? It's been so long since we
I always forget. I don't think you ever get regular loot.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? You get, hang on. Let me give you a few other things just to be fair, I guess.
Okay, thanks. I guess I'm looting the dragon as well, so.
Starting with alchemical ingredients, you find the following things. You find, let's say, 4 doses of ankeg acid.
Sweet. I don't think I've had that this whole adventure.
You find 2 doses of ectobloom.
Oh, nice. That's to replace the ones I gave to Piran.
3 elemental spirits.
Nice.
4 flump spores.
Mm-hmm.
A hag eye.
Oh, yeah, nice. Those are good.
4 hounding killer hands.
I'd leave them. I have so many of them. I have a sack full.
No, you used them up, dude.
I don't think I could have theoretically used up 35 hounding killer hands for what we did.
No, we used a lot.
A pinch of shadow.
Okay.
4 quaggoth vein.
Okay, cool.
As I said, the vampire teeth.
Mm-hmm.
6 blight skin.
Oh, nice.
A ghast guts.
Oh, yeah.
6 ooze sweat.
Hell yeah, I'm getting rich.
Oh, this place was heavy.
It was, there's a lot of guts and people and monsters here. Fair enough.
Aboleth mucus.
Mm-hmm.
Beholder dreams.
How many?
One of each.
One of each, okay. Yeah.
Four dragon blood.
Oh, that's so good.
Three dragon breath. Two dragon scales. Two formian eyes.
Yes.
Five raven feathers, which looks to have been a last stand.
That's sad.
Five unicorn horns, which were definitely part of an experiment that you do not want to
do. Think about.
Also sad.
And that's it for regular ones, but you also get some stones as well.
Fabulous.
Kind of like a gallbladder stone kind of thing with all this gut monster was eating too much.
Yeah,
sort of
true.
Encased.
It was calcifying diamonds.
Five agates.
Nice.
A diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Five emeralds. A garnet.
Mm-hmm.
A ruby. And two turquoises.
God damn. I am rich in ingredients again. Pip was running low, so I spend some time down here harvesting and collecting.
This is another 2 hours of searching and harvesting.
Yeah.
You find, and then using the conveyor belt, you convey back up to the top. Oh. You convey back up to the top 18,000 gold pieces.
Whoa.
1,500 platinum pieces.
Okay.
A six pack of potions of healings.
Oh, nice.
Grugog's best. These are the new and improved, so they also double as alchemist fire.
Oh, lovely.
If you want to use it as a potion of healing, you need to unstopper the container, and then in under a second, it says, you need to form a tight seal with your lips because the liquid will catch fire on contact with air.
Mm.
Or if you want to use it as alchemist fire, you do that, but don't care.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Don't push it to your lips. It specifically states, for use as alchemist fire, do not put it to your lips. A potion of climbing. A potion of Grugrog Scotch, which is a potion of Hill Giant Strength. You find a few odds and ends, if you care. A compass.
Okay.
So a pile of silk.
Okay.
And wooden prayer beads.
Alrighty.
Do they, any of them ring magic?
No, none of them ring magical.
Yeah, fair.
Finally.
Mm-hmm.
You find a set of gauntlets.
Oh, okay.
Magical gauntlets. The person who you pry them off was quite clearly once. I don't know if you'd still say that they're a Goliath. It's a corpse. Anyway, they were a Goliath in life. And so the gauntlets were sized for someone slightly larger than you, but you wear them comfortably enough. Oof. There's a thick fur that lines the inside of the gauntlets, which maybe you're a little bit happy for because of the warmth, but also that extra fur means that they kind of fit you well enough.
That's nice.
On the metal outer shell of the gauntlets, you can see there is a battle damage on the right gauntlet, a giant winding scar that runs up along it. Whatever caused this mark, destroyed the arm, the greaves, I believe they're called, of the armor. So those are unrecoverable. Mm. But it only caused this light mark, this little damage, a scar almost in the gauntlet, in the gauntlets themselves.
Cool.
While wearing the gauntlets, all of your attacks are considered magical, and you have a +1 to attack and damage.
Oh, that's sweet.
What bonus does your armor currently confer? Is it 14? Oh, wait, I have it right here. I'm a fool. It's currently a 16 armor bonus, so we raise that to 17 or 19 while you're using a shield.
That's saucy. That's good stuff.
It seems weird to, like, grab them and just slip them on, because I'm like, surely someone else might use them. But I don't know.
Well, I'm assuming if we look around, are other adventurers also looting?
There's, like, 6 adventurers left. Maybe a full half of them, once the danger has passed, are like, we don't want to be here anymore.
Oh, yeah. I assume that a lot of this,
full half. 3. Leave.
Yeah. I assume that the large portion of us all just, start leaving.
Yeah.
I to be honest, I don't even know if I'll be the one going and gathering all this sort of stuff myself.
Yeah, fair, fair.
I think I'd
maybe you do spot the gauntlets, and as you're collecting them, and while the gold is being transferred, Bigfoot Paul and the Burgermaster begin discussing what's going to happen with the gold.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I need to. I don't want to be down here anymore.
I'm just going to finish up with the
dragon
and stuff, but I'll see you up there.
Yeah, I'm going to bury Orion.
From like inside the dragon, my little arm comes out giving you a thumbs up.
There's roughly about 33,000 gold coins worth of just currency here. Mm-hmm. So ultimately what it comes down to is a three-way split. Bigfoot Paul gets 11K, the Burgermaster gets 11K, and your party gets 11K.
Oh my God. Rich. Rich stuff.
Right. Well, I'll leave all that sort of, I guess,
That's other people's problems.
Right. I might, I'll use this escalator to go up. Is Tarpos down, or did they go upstairs pretty much straight away?
Tarpos, when they weren't needed, left, yeah. Followed by Gorob and Lushan. What's left of Gorob?
You don't want
and
them
Lushan.
There for the funeral, dude.
I'll go upstairs and I'll seek out.
John Cavendish probably also with you heads back up and then when he gets to the top, he rises with you pretty wordlessly. Mm. He's just quiet. He's just in quiet contemplation. And when you get back up to the top, he pretty immediately starts organizing people.
Oh, okay. The 5 minute up, it just, good work, John.
Yes. Thank you. Wish it could have gone differently, I suppose.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the dragon and Ludmilla are slain. Take solace in that. It's a shame that more had to die.
Yes, so much destruction, death. Terrible thing.
Do you believe it? He says. Since you've kind of broken the spell. He was gonna ride this in silence, but you've broken a spell for him. Figuratively, obviously.
Yes.
I guess I do need to specify that.
Yeah, fair.
Was it true what she said about destiny before in the speech?
Sorry? What?
You seemed tired of it.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, I just Pip described you as someone dripping with it before, and you seemed to, not be necessarily keen on it, but open to the idea of destiny.
I think it is one of those things where, when good things happen, when miracles happen, it's very, very easy to believe that a higher purpose, a higher calling, wanted you, made you, compelled you to do that. And so when good things happen, of course, you want to believe in destiny. When you surround yourself or when people that you happen to like or people with the same moral fortitude fall in your lap and want to assist, it's very easy to believe in destiny. And sometimes, you might be flippant, you might want to disregard the hard work of many people simply because, of course, the good things happen because I am a good person and that is my destiny.
Mm.
But then when the destiny makes you work with the engineer, say, you start questioning if it's truly worth it. You start questioning if it's is it actually the destiny, or is it someone telling you that you have a destiny which makes you do the right thing, or to spare the right people, or to spare people in general. And maybe that, just through that alone, is all you need. So I guess that's the self-fulfilling prophecy of it all. And when I first arrived, I had nothing to contradict what I was told, but then, we had one companion from part of Madame Eva's reading, but he got turned into a vampire, and then he killed another one of us. So I don't know. Destiny or not, I want to get out of here, John. Destiny or not, I'm going to take down the devil. I don't need someone, a higher power, another calling, to tell me to do the right thing. That just comes from here. Like, point inwards sort of thing.
He nods. Funny words from a paladin and a warlock.
I guess so. But getting tired of being used by elder gods.
John Cavendish just nods slowly. He has sunken back into his own thoughts. Get up to the top. John Cavendish steps off and then immediately, it's like the choir John Cavendish has gone and soldier John Cavendish has returned. A different person starts barking orders.
Right, yes. As you were. I'll, scan for her tapos, and if not in the abattoir itself, I'll head off. Maybe I probably would have put my pack or whatever with Orion somewhere up top. I don't think I would have taken him down, so I'll gather that.
You have a little search around the abattoir. Tarpos is not here. So you collect your pack, and stepping out, you expand your search a little further. Mm-hmm. Tarpos is not far from the abattoir, but she's moved far enough away that the snow is just black with soot, not red also with blood.
Mm.
She's sitting on a bench in a... There's no... Kutri doesn't really have, like, public parks, but there are open spaces where people can sit and cry.
Mm.
And Tarpos has found such a place and is sitting as quietly as she can as Gorob and Lushan, standing nearby. They keep trying to say things. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to... Tarpos is obviously uncomfortable, and they obviously want to help, but... Dealing with someone who is emotionally uncomfortable is not a tool that Gorob and Lushan have in their tool belt.
Okay, I'll
they're a hammer and nail.
I think I can figure this one out. All right, I'll head there towards them.
Tarpos, seeing you approach, stands up.
Oh, I'll sit down next to Tarpos. Tarpos, perhaps. Is there anything that we might need to bury Orion that perhaps Gorob and Lushan can fetch?
You need to say it twice, but Tarpos, on like the second attempt, the first time you say it, no.
Maybe then perhaps for after the burial, perhaps they could find something like... a large enough stone or some sort of carving tools or wood.
You make it a step more obvious. And Tarpos, on the second attempt, understands. Yes, Gorob, Lushan need stone, a big 5 feet by 5 feet square, perfectly. Perfectly square, but thin,
And perhaps some a certain feather of a certain color.
Yes,
yes.
Snipe, she says, needs snipe feathers. Left-handed screwdriver.
Yeah, basically set them on a long little goose chase.
Need wild goose. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild goose. Yeah, that's the one.
Right-handed screwdriver? I do not believe. Oh, you do not believe. Oh, I'll get it. I'll get it. My lady. They run off.
Beautiful.
Whew, they are a handful, eh?
Still might not take them long. They are dogged.
Yeah, that is true. How are you, by the way? How are you?
Kuchery, sick.
Yeah.
Earth here screams in pain.
Yeah, I didn't...
A great evil was done here. Disrupt balance.
Best way to, I guess, restore that to nature?
Must let balance restore itself. Cannot... someone put thumb on scales, make evil too heavy. Put thumb on scale, make good heavier, not what nature wants. Even if ends in balance, is not natural. Must take thumb off and let nature come to equilibrium.
So, I guess time.
Yes, she says. Yes, time.
Well, time heals most wounds.
Time leaves scar.
That's also true. I take it you're, the rituals with Sanzor, that was the goat, right?
Yes.
Take it that went well?
Yes. Have ascended. Tarpos now can claim Archdruid, but Archdruid with no grove.
Well, congratulations at the least of that.
Mm.
Is Keshkar, whatever happened to him?
Keshkar head. Yeah. Tarpos takes her backpack off, and you realize with horror she still has the head.
Yeah.
He's in a sack.
I know. We put some nails in his eyes and whatnot.
Yeah. Nails in his ears.
And that too.
Yeah.
Still, I guess, undulating somewhat.
Yuck. He moves, but he cannot make any noise.
You'd think that would just be the end of it, but he just keeps going.
Keshkar cannot die as Strahd lives.
Sorry, we found out his name. Whenever he hears the name, he can know that you're talking about him.
Oh, Strahd knows where Keshkar is,
she says,
pointing at head.
No, but the name itself. Just if you could try and not say the name.
No, Keshkar connected to Strahd. His druid. Yes. Can see us anyway.
Awesome. Awesome stuff.
So through the... Sorry.
Strahd is land.
I'm like just kind of in my head being like, well, I can't do that. Did she just say... So through the fact that you have the head, that means that the devil, and I do like the symbol of that everyone else has been doing, can see through the head?
Yes.
Perhaps it might be worth...
Why thought strange you block ears? Not unhappy, want to, but strange you think that stops it.
Right. If we got rid of the head somehow, would that stop it?
Maybe.
If it would be something you could entertain, perhaps we could bury the head in several locations throughout the realm... Or we could burn it to a cinder or something so that maybe if we're doing certain things that we don't want, I do the symbol, to know what's going on. Wouldn't that be useful?
No.
I love Tarpos.
Tarpos keep head.
Yes, but by keeping the head, you're putting yourself and everyone else at
risk. Strahd see.
Yes.
Not in danger.
Right. But if we're trying to do something surreptitiously, in secret.
From Strahd?
Yeah.
Might as well hide from trees. Pointless.
I see
Strahd knows.
It's always been kind of secretly Pip's opinion, too.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's the kind of like, you have a very valid point.
You kill a woman. She starts pointing at
the princess or whatever.
Yeah, princess, whatever.
Ludmilla, Vladmilla, some Miller.
You kill Ludmilla because Strahd okay with. Strahd not want you to kill. He would have stopped.
You think so? So I start, but all right. So
this happened because Strahd wants this.
So Strahd could just be here in any moment.
Yeah. Huh. Strahd is land.
Right.
Strahd is Argenvost corpse. Strahd is cavity beneath Kuchery. Strahd is Kuchery. Strahd is resistance to Strahd.
So why is he doing that? Why is he... Is he just bored?
She shrugs. Strahd, unknowable, is like...
an elder god.
Yeah. Well, no, not unknowable, actually. It's hard to know. Like knowing mountain. Tarpos can know mountain. Mountain speaks. Hard to listen. Strahd speaks. Hard to listen.
I guess so.
Maybe you've heard things you didn't even know.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Think. Strahd ever speak to you?
I don't know, but I did have a conversation with a friend who seemed very powerful.
Could be Strahd.
Could be. Well, as the Archdruid, I have a favor to ask. Could you help me bury Orion?
She nods. Yes. I help Orion pass.
Yeah, that would be nice. It's my... I know none of us are really here by anybody's choice, but I guess, well, Strahd's. We all sort of seem drawn here or here by accident, but I called Orion. She's here because of me. And she died because of me. She didn't have to be here.
I know a quiet place nearby.
That would be nice. Thank you.
Tarpos stands up and leads the way. Pip, you're done collecting.
Mm-hmm.
What's your next move?
I feel like down here
I start thinking about Pop, the guy, not the chick.
Yeah.
I think he's just on my mind while I'm down here harvesting. Okay. And then maybe when I stop, I just kind of sit in the cavern for a little bit thinking. And then once I've collected everything I'm going to collect, I'll get on the escalator and I'll head back up.
You're probably among the last to leave.
Mm.
No one wants to be down here.
Okay. So, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. People one by one begin leaving. And yeah, like I said, you'd be among the last.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Iona waits by the end, by the escalator. Yeah. She waits. You can see she's quite purposely waiting for you to arrive as well. She maybe is, she's not sitting actually, but she is, no, actually, yeah, the escalator is currently stopped. She's sitting on it and she's just plucking on a loot.
You didn't have to wait for me.
No one should have to be alone in this place.
That's true. Where did Hector go?
He left earlier, I believe, with Cavendish, but I do not think they were to be with each other.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe I'll sit down too. Maybe I'll pull out my violin as well and start plucking on it. You coming with us? Is that your plan? Or are you staying here in Kutri?
I was not aware that Eleniel is still alive. I would wish to see her at least.
Right.
It would not be the first foolish thing I have done for that woman.
I know. When did you meet Eleniel?
The first time we met, we were much younger children. It was, I believe, perhaps 30 years ago.
Well, that'll be a nice reunion then.
I would hope so, but I do not understand why Eleniel did not attempt to contact me.
A wash of guilt goes over Pip. She was in hiding, I mean. I'm sure it had nothing to do with you.
Why was she in hiding?
Hmm.
She doesn't know.
Uh-oh. I'm in danger. You don't know what happened to the Dusk Elves?
Iona stops plucking on the lute and turns to you. No, I have been dealing with Scutcheri.
I put my violin away. The time for music is over.
When everything fell apart, when our forces were routed, I knew there were people there from Scutcheri, and we tried to get back as quickly as possible. We had already been threatened by the sheriff for reprisals if we left to help. And so we fled as quickly as we could, knowing that the sheriff's power would be only magnified by our defeat.
Strahd, in retaliation for the failed uprising, every child bearing Dusk Elf, but one.
Iona turns forward and stares into the darkness for a long time.
She is with child, Eleniel.
What?
She's pregnant.
Iona looks back at you. Clang, clang. She drops the lute she was holding. She is alive and with child?
Yeah, yes. I don't know who the father is.
Iona bowls forwards, puts her hands over her mouth.
I reach out and awkwardly try and brace her.
When did this happen? When was...
I don't know. I mean, unsurprisingly...
How far along is she?
How long would I guess? Pip's no doctor.
Get a good boy card.
Whoa, yeah. Pip's a doctor.
You would guess, judging on what you know, a substantial amount, about elven reproduction, you would guess that Eleniel would probably have gotten, like it would have happened within maybe like a month either side of roughly when your uprising happened last year.
It probably happened somewhere around the uprising. I'm guessing. I'm sorry.
No, that would mean...
I shrug.
There is perhaps only one person who that could have been.
Who? I can't think. I try and think of all the people that were there.
She looks at you. Me?
I... Congratulations?
Iona stands up. We need to leave now.
Where for?
Does Hector, does he still have connection? Does he still speak?
I think so. I think he can talk through the trees. I don't
know. In the mornings, right?
Yeah, in the morning. Or at any time now. I think it might be.
We need to go. I need to speak to Hector.
All right. Well, yeah, okay. I will try and find him then. This is very unexpected for Pip. All right, we can go try and find Hector.
You take the escalator back up.
Mm-hmm.
Hector.
Mm-hmm.
Tarpos takes you to a quiet clearing in the woods around Kuchuri. There is a peacefulness to this place. The clearing has a single grand-looking oak tree in its very center. There's nothing inherently magical to this space. It's more just a peaceful place.
It's a good spot. Yeah, I guess I grab a shovel.
Sure.
Is this a good spot? Is it okay to dig here, you think?
Tarpos nods.
I start digging, a grave.
Tarpos stands stock still and just watches for a while. Takes you a little bit, but you realize that Tarpos, she's not helping because she doesn't want to help. She's helping because she feels awkward and doesn't know what you, if you want her out.
Right. I don't have a second shovel. If you have...
I can make dirt do what I want.
That would be useful, yes.
She nods.
I hop out of the... However, how long have I been here?
Maybe like half an hour worth of digging.
Okay, I hop out of the, I guess, you know, a couple of things, whatever.
Sure.
that would be nice. Thank you.
Tarpos then, to your specifications, creates a grave for Orion.
Yeah, I guess take Orion out of, still wrapped in the sheet. I don't want to take it out of the sheet. Yeah, and also don't really want to like show Tarpos what happens.
Sure.
It's kind of like place that.
If you in any way show like you try to make it so that Tarpos can't see or anything.
No. I just think it's just out of common courtesy for everybody, really.
It's nasty what happened.
It's nasty.
Place.
And also with Tarpos being a druid and very much against an unnatural order of things, it's extremely unnatural.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So I place that in the grave.
All right.
Get Tarpos to...
She fills it in and packs it down so that it settles nicely.
Thank you.
For some, like to have a marker, can make if you want.
Yes. I describe the constellation that was on Orion that I think that Pirin or Esme once put onto a stone as a marker. I describe that as best as I can.
Tarpos carves that into she flattens one part of a rock, then carves that into that flat section of the rock and just sets it at the head of the grave.
Kneeling down, hand on the grave or hand on the stone, just, I'll just say a prayer. Ryan, I'm sorry. Penia, the light you gave me, I return to you, the light above us, the light behind us, the light before us. May it illuminate where we need to go. I'm sorry.
Tarpos stands silently and just gives you as much time as you need.
Yeah, I guess we just wait there for a while, I guess. Mm-hmm. Until,
I think if I see that they're doing a funeral, I'll be like, oh, put a hand up in front of Iona. Like, give the guys some space.
wait there for a while until either you've interrupted us or if Lush interrupt us.
Maybe actually after some time standing there, however long it takes, Tarpos takes a big step so that she's standing next to you. And then she reaches out with a hand to grab yours.
I reach out and grab it.
Imagine within you. There is a light. Close your eyes.
I close them.
Imagine the light stretches down from your center into your feet.
Follow instruction.
The light stretches from your feet into the earth beneath us. Imagine the light becomes like roots of a tree It stretches in all directions, planting itself firmly. Now imagine every tree, every creature, every entity within this place has the same, a light within them that stretches down. Our roots touch and connect. There is no separation. There is no death. There is only connection. Forever.
Thank you. May the sun never set. Thank you.